Well, today I'm preaching on identity theft. So take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a big problem that we're facing as Americans. In fact, I'm going to give you some facts that are staggering that's happening in our nation with identity theft. But it's a greater problem in the church because Satan's doing everything he can to rob us of our identity in Christ. And he is the thief. Amen? So turn to Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. Stand once you've found your place. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 is where we're going to start. This is one of the richest books in all the Bible, I believe. Amen. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And Father, I just want to praise you for being the awesome, mighty, great God that you are. Lord, we bow down to you as your worshipers today. Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray for your oil of anointing to be upon us all today that we'll hear your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes, they say, in the United States of America and around the world. Here's a few facts regarding the crime in the United States alone. According to the Federal Trade Commission's Identity Theft Survey report, 10, listen to this figure, 10 million American consumers discovered that their personal information had been used in some way to open fraudulent bank accounts, credit card accounts, or utility accounts, are used to commit other crimes. Identity theft costs Americans $53 billion annually. That's a big figure, isn't it? Identity theft costs almost $53 billion annually. Americans spend 300 million hours resolving issues related to identity theft. What would you do if your identity was stolen? I mean, that's hard to go through, isn't it? I remember my pastor, Paul Jones, you all know, it was about less than a year ago, someone stole his identity or something, and he had got from our federal government and stuff that he was dead. Paul was dead and said that and did away with his Social Security and everything. Your identity theft can be very, very serious. To recover a stolen identity, you need facts and records from an authority, and only authority can resolve what has been or restore what has been stolen. If you do not take steps to protect your personal information, you too can be a victim, just as each person has a physical identity. God has created a spiritual identity for his people, and we need to understand that from the very beginning. Now think about it, what Satan set out to do. What did the devil do? The enemy stole the identity that God gave us as his people in the Garden of Eden. And it is only through Christ that we are reconnected with that God-given identity. Each of us are on a journey of a lifetime to reclaim our identity that was stolen. A drill sergeant barked out an order to a bunch of recruits. All you dumbbells, get moving. All but one obeyed. Angered by the seemingly defiance, the sergeant marched up to this one soldier and said, "Well?" And the young recruit said, "Well, there certainly was a lot of them, sir. Wouldn't it be great if we would stand against identity fraud? I mean, the devil make you feel like you are a dummy or a dumbbell. May feel like that you are a loss. He may make you feel like that you're inadequate. He may make you feel like, well, you're not living the Christian life. But let me tell you something about the devil real quick. He's a liar and the father of lies. And we can get really messed up, and all of a sudden, we're spiritually bankrupt. Are y'all listening to me? Spiritually bankrupt because we've listened to the devil. By the way, do you know more people listen to the devil from 11 to 12 o'clock than any other hour? Yeah. You know why? The devil loves it that when we give him our attention and we don't give God our attention. Yeah. You think the devil wants you to worship God this morning? Oh, no. And many of God's people are spiritually bankrupt. So I've got one commercial for you. You know, all these banks have these commercials. So can we show that commercial, and then I'll talk about how the devil's robbed us of our
figure
identity.
Out how to get me one of those free motorcycles.
I thought the Faith Riders would enjoy that. The devil is doing everything he can to rob us of our identity. And we've got to understand who or what has stolen your identity. Here's what the Bible says in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, let's just stick with the book we're in, Ephesians. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:27. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And while the devil's trying to rob us of our identity, we can turn this thing around on the devil, and that's what I'm going to try to do today. Also, there's deception. Deception has stolen the identity of many who walk with God. A deacon once told me years ago, he said he could not be deceived. You know what I told him? You're deceived. Anybody can be deceived. I just want to give you a quick list of how we can be our identity can be stolen, and it's by deception. Ephesians 5, 6, and 7, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God unto the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Sin is always an identity theft. Sin will carry you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, to cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is really about deception. It really is. Above everything, the devil is a deceiver. And then defeat. The enemy uses the attitude of defeat to rob many Christians of their true identity. The defeater tells us all the things that and we're listening. I mean, we hear what the devil says. That we'll never make it. Quit serving God. Don't worship God. I mean, the devil's, he knows how to give all those words of discouragement. And that's the other thing, discouragement. Ephesians 3:13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not. Don't be discouraged of my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul was saying, don't get discouraged because I'm in jail. God uses things that looks bad for his glory. Did you know that? What did Joseph say to his brothers? What you meant for harm, God meant for good. Amen. You may feel like this morning you're a victim of your circumstances, but as the choir sung, you've got the victory. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see today. You've got to claim it. Okay? You can claim that you are a victim, or you can claim you are a victor. You can claim that you're defeated, or you can claim that you are more than a conqueror. Are y'all following me? You can look at your life this morning and say, man, it's one life. And you can become, hey, it's easy to get discouraged. Amen? Amen. It is a matter of attitude. And then division. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. With all lowliness, this is important, church, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to do everything he can to destroy your home, destroy your marriage, destroy your church. We've got to make up our mind. You know what I like about people like J.W. and Mary Lee? They've said, Pastor, we've had our problems. Our marriage has not always been perfect, but we're committed to each other. Amen. 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 How long y'all been married?
Amen.
Good answer. So many he forgot. Just amen. 59 years, almost 59 years. That's commitment, amen? You know what? You can listen to the devil, and a lot of young people do. They say, well, hey, this ain't working out for me. Well, it ain't always worked out for y'all either. But you know what? You got to let the one that put you together keep you together, amen? And then doctrine. Oh, doctrine. You know, people can get divided over doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cutting craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Many people are just ignorant. They don't really know God's word. They don't know the truth. And the truth really can't set you free if you don't know the truth. Hello? Oh, I hear people say all the time, well, the truth will set you free. Well, you got to know the truth to be free, amen? And so a lot of the problems, I mean, I had a guy come up to me one time and sort of, he was upset at me. He said, you teach too much doctrine. That was ignorance. You know what doctrine is? It's the teachings of Jesus. It's what God's taught in His Word. You're fixing to get some doctrine this morning. But let me say this to you. A doctrine that divides people is different than a doctrine that unites people. I personally believe God is a uniter, not a divider. You know, and I'm going to stand on this book because I believe it is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And by the way, God said it. It don't matter whether I believe it or not. God said it. That settles it right there. Amen? Because God said it. All right, we're going to get into some great truths today. Hope this makes sense to you. Number one, the purpose of identity self-protection. What is the purpose? And I've got a reason for using the words that I did, so just hold on. Purpose of identity self-protection. Number one, the person of protection. Look at verse 11. He says, in whom? In whom? Who's the in whom? Well, you know who the in whom is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance. What I want you to get today is this, that you are in Christ. And here's what Paul was trying to say. Paul was trying to teach. He was saying, yes, you Jews have believed. You're the ones that he said, where was it? In verse 12, who first trusted in Christ. He's speaking to the Jews. But he's also speaking here to the Gentiles. And he's saying the mystery that he's speaking of there in Ephesians is the fact that we're all the same in Christ. I'm telling you, Jew, Gentile, we are all made one in Christ. We are the family of God because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that brings us together. John 10, 28, and I give unto them eternal life. I love this verse. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Ha! Take that and stick it in your pipe, devil. Because my security is in Jesus. It's not in me. If it was in me, I would have already lost it. My identity theft would be myself losing it. Self is another enemy that we have, you know? But my identity is not in me. And my identity is not in you. My identity is in Christ. He is my life. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. The hope of glory. That's why when God gave us Jesus, He gave us everything He had to give and everything we would ever need. Christianity is Christ. And the only thing that makes me a Christian is a relationship with Jesus. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Now you got to listen here or you're going to miss it. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Most commentators believe this verse should be translated in Him also, we were made an inheritance. Well, both are right. Both statements are true. The phrase is one compound word in the Greek language. In Christ, we have a wonderful inheritance, and in Christ, we are an inheritance. Paul speaks of something in the future that is sure to happen. We were made an inheritance or a heritage, and we have an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorruptible, unfading, and kept in heaven for you by the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, and I believe I have a spell talking about it, that we are joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8:17, which means that he cannot claim his inheritance apart from us. We are joint heirs. So Jesus cannot claim. Are y'all following me? You've never heard this preach probably. Jesus cannot claim His inheritance without us. I believe I will have a spell. In other words, my sufficiency is in Christ. My salvation is in Christ. My strength is in Christ. He's the person. I like what the little girl was asked. She was asked, well, if the devil comes knocking at your door, who would you send to the door? She said, I'd send Jesus to the door. Jesus handled the devil. I am not a defeated foe. The devil's a defeated foe. Amen. I've got the victory. I'm not going to be a victim of my circumstances. I'm not going to live in defeat, not going to live in discouragement. I've got Jesus, and I've read this book, and I've won. Now, you can go through life as a winner or a loser. Amen? It's your choice. I'm going to go through life as a winner. I've won. You know what? In reading this, I learned. Can I give it to you in a nutshell? Because I know time's running out. We're going to have vacation Bible school this week. There's going to be plenty of Bible study. But here's what I got out of all this studying. And that is this. That it is real simple. God says, I'm right. And he says, devil, you're wrong. And I'm telling you, friend, this is the way all this is going to work out. Your salvation is secure. You may be concerned and you may beat yourself up. The devil may lie to you and tell you, you know what? You're just not the Christian you ought to be. Well, you know what? The devil, I'm going to tell you something. He is a deceiver. He will try to trip you up. He'll trick you. He'll do everything he can. I'm here to preach today. You're protected in Jesus. Jesus is your salvation. You can't lose your salvation because it's not your... Oh, yeah, you could lose your salvation. You can't lose his salvation. Amen? You got to make sure it's his salvation in Christ. All right. And then the plan of protection. Verse 11, being predestinated. That's an important word. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things. It is according to God's sovereign purpose that he's preaching here. Paul says we are predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision that he's already made of his own will. Predestined here means, in the Greek, determined beforehand. In other words, I want you to get this understanding. You're safe and secure because God already decided that before you ever were born. Your salvation was secure in Christ before you even got saved. Hello? Because you see, why don't you understand? God has a plan. And I do believe God had a plan in saving you. And God has a divine plan from the day you were born again to the day you go to heaven and all the way to eternity. God's up to something in your life. I want you to understand that. Predestined means determined beforehand. God already's got all this figured out. The devil, he don't know all things, so he's trying to figure you out. You're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to understand and identify who you are in Christ. But I want you to know Jesus has already got it all figured out. Hello? He's got a divine plan, and he can't mess it up. It's perfect. Are y'all following me? It's the perfect plan of God. Well, I'm excited if nobody else is. Ephesians 1:4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You're going to go around blaming yourself for this, blaming yourself for that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That blame was taken care of at Calvary. Jesus took your blame. Hello? He took your sin. He took your hell. He took your judgment. I tell you, if we could all just get a big, big boost of ego and confidence in Christ, not in us, but in Christ, that's what we need. And then the pleasure of protection. God finds pleasure in all this. He says in verse 11, the last part, after the counsel of his own will. God gets great pleasure in taking care of his children. We got our little granddaughter with us for vacation Bible school. And it's a pleasure. Now, she can be trying, but it's a pleasure. We can be trying, can we not? As God's children, the Israelites, boy, Moses ran out of patience almost. Moses, you know, I won't get into Moses. But anyway, God knows that he is perfect and that his will is perfect. His whole purpose in protecting us from identity theft is the fact that he is sovereign, and in the pleasure of his own good will, it all works exactly the way he planned it from the beginning of time. In other words, in the end, God's right and the devil's wrong. Comes down to that. I've read the back of the book. We win! I'm going to go ahead and claim the victory now. Amen. Why live your life in misery when you know that God's got a perfect plan and he takes pleasure in fulfilling his plan? Amen. Just think about that. God takes pleasure Now you say, well, it's not very pleasant for me at times. That's because you're not following His plan. Follow His plan. I'm going to tell you, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I got to move quickly. The second part is this: praise of identity theft protection. There needs to be some praise given here for this great mighty God for fulfilling the purpose that He has in our life. Look what He says in verse 12. I love the language that Paul has, that we should be, now notice how he says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, you can write beside your verse there if you want to, pastor's favorite. This is really, I think, my favorite verse in the Bible. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. I'm telling you something, folks, that verse lights my fire. That does something for me like no other verse. I'm accepted in Christ, and it's not anything I've done. It's to praise His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace. In other words, this is what that verse teaches me, that God is saying, my grace is the right and only way for you to be saved, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. So it's not of me. So He didn't save me because of anything I've done. He didn't save me just because He loves me. He didn't save me for escape hell. He really did save me to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why he is saying this, church, I know what I'm doing. I'm God here. I know how to give you salvation, and I'm the one that deserves all the praise for it because my plan works. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get excited that God's plan works. Now, a lot of things in this life don't work. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, you think about computers, for example. They don't work. Garbage in, garbage out, right? The problem is man made it. But I want you to understand, and by the way, identity theft happens a lot because of computers. Yeah, people stealing your identity. It's right there. You know, it's right funny. Years ago, did you know people wrote their Social Security number on property? They wrote, many years ago, they'd write their Social Security. Now you better hide that number. You know, I'm telling you, identity fraud is all out there. I'm telling you today, I've got a Savior that knows how to take care of identity fraud. I'm telling you something, no devil can rob you of your salvation. He can't. And to the praise of the glory of His grace, we are accepted in the beloved, in Christ. Thank God for that. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. God's grace and glory might be seen here and might be adored. When something is charged to your account and you are shown grace and mercy, you can't help but to give somebody praise. Thank God that charge that somebody charged on my credit card, you ever had that happen? And the bank forgave you of it. They showed mercy and grace. Well, that's what God's done for you for eternity. He's forgiven. If you're in Christ today, you're forgiven. I mean, of all past sin, present sin, and even your future sin. You say, well, why do I need to confess my sin then? Because you need to own up to it. Amen? Amen? Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It gives glory to God. It says, to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. We often have the idea that God saves sinners mainly because He pities them or wants to rescue them from eternal judgment. But God's main purpose is that He will be glorified. God wants glory. He deserves glory. He knows He's worthy. He is worth our worship. He's worth this time. We ought to have a spell every Sunday just because we are protected in Jesus. We have our safety. I love that. I forget, is it in Jeremiah, Isaiah? I can't remember. But it's talking about in His arms. You know, a baby feels so safe in a mother's arms. We should feel that. Amen. I'll never forget. One night, I had my son with me, and he was a baby. It was just me and him. I don't know where I was coming from. I remember I was coming from Durham, going to Fuquay. And I was scared to death. We had one of these terrific thunderstorms. I could not see to pull off the road. I could not see nothing. It was a torrential downpour. The wind was blowing. And I'm scared. And I'm going maybe 5 miles an hour. And I can't do nothing but just keep it on the road. And I look back to check on my son. And he's in the little car seat in the back. He's laughing with a smile on his face. He's chilled. You know why? He knows his daddy's going to take care of him. Some of us get so fretful and we get so concerned when the storms of life come, and they do come. I want you to know God, He's not the co-pilot. He's the driver. He's the pilot. That's right. He's in control. Now, the best thing for you to do is not to be a backseat driver. Amen. My son was not a backseat driver. He was just a little infant. But he was back there giggling. And he was asleep. But he was laughing in his sleep. I'm going to tell you something. The glory goes to the Father. You go through a storm. And some of you going through storms today, don't let the devil rob you of your identity in Christ. Praise God anyhow. Amen. Just say, Lord, I know You're working for my good and Your glory. And if this is going to give You glory, then God, You just go ahead and get all the glory out of my life. Now, some of you really do that well. And I praise God for your spirit and your attitude, that you understand that God's in control. And when you know God's got you, you can praise God anyhow. All right, I'm moving on. Number three, the promise of identity theft protection. Now, here's my favorite subject, because I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit here. I love talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, and whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word there is security. In whom ye have trusted. Our security was planned by the Father. It was purchased by the Son. It was preserved by the Holy Spirit. Presented by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Think about that a moment. We can stand on this promise today. Our security is in whom ye have trusted, Jesus. Security isn't in a place, it's in a person. Notice the movement from the we, talking about the Jewish believers, to the ye. You also, referring to the Gentiles. It is correct that everything said in the previous verses is true for Jews and Gentiles, but with the pronoun shift, Paul is stressing a different point here in verses 12 and 13. Paul is saying the Gentile believers are just as secure as the Jewish believers. Paul is saying there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. All believers are God's possession, because in whom ye also trusted, he said. You can trust and stand on the promises of Jesus, that your salvation is safe and secure, is what he's saying. And let me tell you this, you know, We talk about the Jews, and I know God's not done with those Jewish people yet, but I'm going to tell you this. Just as much as they were chosen, you were chosen as a Gentile. Yeah, God chose you too. He called you from death to life, from darkness to light. You are the chosen of God. We need to start talking like this. Where I'm going, and I had a plan this year, the Lord laid on my heart to preach on identity, but where I'm going, I'm finishing up, I guess today, on identity. There may be one more sermon left, not sure yet. But here's where I want to go. To get our church speaking in authority. We have a kingdom authority. We are kingdom children. We need to start talking like it. Amen. You have authority over serpents. Jesus told his disciples, you have authority over the enemy. You have authority. Now we need to start living like it. We need to start talking like it. We can stand on the promises of God. He is faithful and just to keep his word to the very end. And then the promise of identity is not only our security, but also our salvation. Look at verse 13 again. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye believed. I love how Paul calls the gospel the word of truth. Coming to Jesus for salvation is coming to the truth. Who determines truth? What defines truth? The question should be, who defines truth? God does. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to my Father but by me. Jesus is the gospel of our salvation. And then third, we're sealed. I had to get there before we left here today. I want you to understand something. You were sealed, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's important that you understand that. It's so important. I want you to just camp out here a minute with me. A seal was a mark of ownership and authenticity. It was used for cattle, and even slaves were branded by their masters. Owners were guarding their property from thief, identity theft, guarding their property from theft by branding what their property was. Those seals were from without. But here's what I want you to understand, and you got to get this to get my next point. The Holy Spirit was promised to every child of God. And the Holy Spirit is really what seals your salvation. I want you to understand it this way. The Bible says two things I want to give you. Our spirit will bear witness one with another that we are the children of God, okay? When I went to England, I went to South Wales Baptist Seminary over there for a period. I didn't know a soul in England. But I was amazed how many people that I met, I felt like I'd always known them. You know why? They were brothers and sisters in Christ. And then also the Bible says your spirit will, or God's spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. You want confirmation? You need to understand you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we're going to talk about earnest money in just a minute. And the Holy Spirit is a part of that. Those seals were from without. Our seals are from within. God has put His seal on our hearts and on our lives. If you are truly saved, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans 8, 9. This is a very pointed verse. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You need to understand and appropriate who this third person of the Trinity is. You can't live the Christian life, but the Holy Spirit can. Hello? You can. A lot of people do this, man. I'm telling you, a lot of people in the church, I see it all the time. They're trying to live a good life in their flesh, in their strength. They come to church and check it off. Well, I've done my duty. And a lot of people get burned out serving God because they're doing it in their strength and in their flesh. But let me tell you something, friend. When you are dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit, you cannot exhaust the power of God. You will be anointed by God. He will give you the energy to live out the Christian life, and only He can live the Christian life through you. Are you with me this morning? You are sealed by this Holy Spirit of promise. We need to make a big deal out of this. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. And then last, I'm done, the possession of identity theft protection. I want you to take this home with you today for this reason. I want you to claim the promised land. The Jews understood that God had prepared a land for them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now follow with me about what the Bible says about this. You see, the wilderness, where most Christians are, is defeated Christian living. That's the wilderness. The promised land is victorious Christian living. Most Christians are not living in victory. That's why I asked the choir to come back and sing that song again today. Folks, you can be a victim of identity theft, or you can stand up and say, you know what? I'm chosen. I'm a child of the King. I want you to understand something, that the promised land is the here and now. It's not talking about heaven. The promised land was a land, a little land, that the children of Israel were to live in, flowing with milk and honey, and it was a promised land. All they had to do was go in and claim it. So what he said, every place you put your foot. I'm telling you something, friend, you and I have got to learn to possess our possessions. Did y'all follow that? It's yours. It's yours. We don't live like it. We don't act like it. We don't talk like it. That this victory is yours. We've not even claimed it. We hadn't even skimmed the surface of who we are in Jesus Christ. That's why I want to preach on kingdom authority. But our identity is this, that we can possess our possessions. How? Well, the payment's already been made. Look at it. This is fun. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest is a great word. In Paul's day, it meant the down payment to guarantee the final purchase of something, of some commodity or a price of property. We use the same word today, isn't it? It's in the Bible. We use it today. Earnest money. A realtor will ask for earnest money. Today we use the word to make a down payment. The Holy Spirit is God's first installment of guarantee to the children of God that we that He will finish His work and eventually that we will bring Him glory. The guaranteed payment has already been paid, and I'm here to tell you, you have every right. Are y'all following me today? I don't know what it is. The devil's just lied to us so much. It's almost like we're serving the devil more than we're serving God because we're listening to the devil more than we're listening to God. Folks, the payment was paid. I'm telling you, Jesus paid it. Amen. But the Holy Spirit wants you to understand that that earnest money was for you. And then the purchase. I'm going somewhere because here's where Jesus steps in. until the redemption of the purchased possession. It refers to the redemption of the body and the return of Christ, but we have been redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7. We are being redeemed as the Spirit works in our lives to make us more like Christ, according to Romans 8:1-4. And we shall be redeemed when Christ returns and we become like Him. In other words, yes, understand this. I am saved. That's my position. I have a divine position. I'm in Christ. But there's a process of sanctification. I'm growing in this salvation. I'm growing to be more like Him. And thank God one day that we're going to be in heaven forevermore. And you know, the problem is helping people understand that not only you get to go to heaven, but you get to live like heaven is already in your heart because you got Jesus. Do you know the heaven of heaven is that God is there, and the hell of hell is that God is not there? The word redeemed means you've been bought with a price. He paid a price on the cross. Jesus shed His blood for you. He has purchased you. The payment has been made. He has purchased you. And now I really want to hit a home run. If I give you anything else, get this. Because God woke me up this morning. I had the wrong word down here. I'm so glad that God puts up with me. Because God woke me up and said, you got the wrong word there. Put the word presence. And I was reading the scripture. I was thinking about it. I wasn't reading it this morning. I was just thinking about it in bed. The purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now I got to thinking, what good is His protection? What good is His provision? What good is His plans, His praises, His promises, if we don't know His presence? If you don't know Jesus today, nothing that I've said is good for you. What I've been preaching today is how God will protect His children. He looks after His children. By the way, I got to give you this real quick. You know why the devil works on you the way he does? Because you are a child of God. Yeah. I mean, what gets under your skin more, as a parent, what gets under your skin more than anything else? Someone to mess with one of your children. Yeah. I told my granddaughter last night, I said, you let someone mess with you. Papa's going to take care of them. Oh, I'd take them out. Don't hurt my granddaughter. Don't hurt my child. Well, you know, the devil knows this. He knows he can't get to God. He can't deal with God. I mean, he tried to deal with Jesus with the temptations. He didn't win any victory there. But the way to get to God, the devil thinks, I'll just get to His children. So a lot of the problems you're having problems in your home, you're having problems in your marriage. You don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Satan is up to something in your life. He's trying to destroy you. He wants you as a Christian to live below your rights. I'm telling you something, in Christ, hey, I can't brag on my righteousness, but bless God, I'm going to brag on His righteousness. And I know that I've got His righteousness through Jesus Christ. So right now, before we leave this place, I wonder if anybody, now this is why we're here, by the way, I want you to claim His presence right now in your life. I want you to do it right now. You see, it says, unto the praise of His glory. That's the Shekinah glory of His presence. The earnest money was made by the Holy Spirit, and He is at work right here and now. The purchased possession was made by Jesus by His redemption of the cross. The purchased possession was made by Jesus, God's sacrificial lamb on the cross. And then God Himself is inviting you into His permanent presence unto the praise of His glory. I wonder if anybody would claim it right now. I wonder if anybody here today would say, I'm accepted. I wonder if anybody here today would say, I'm adequate. Would anybody here today say, I've been adopted? Would anybody here today say, I'm alive, an ambassador, anointed, assured, bride, beloved, blood bought. I'm blameless. I'm born again. I'm blessed. I'm a bondservant. I'm bought with a price. I'm a brother. I'm called. I'm chosen. A child of God. I'm cherished. I'm a citizen. I'm clean. I'm clothed. I'm complete. I'm confident. I'm a conqueror. I'm a new creation. I'm a disciple. I've been delivered. I'm delighted. I'm dead to sin. I'm empowered. I'm enlightened. I'm enriched. I'm equipped. I'm established. I have an eternal favor. I'm a fellow citizen. I'm filled. I'm I'm finished. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm a friend. I'm a first fruit bearer. I've got a future. God's gift to Christ. I'm gifted. I'm guarded. I'm guided. I'm an heir. I'm His. I'm holy. I'm honored. I'm hope fixed. I'm an image of God. I'm indestructible. I'm indwelt. I'm inseparable. I'm a joint heir. I'm justified. I'm kept. I'm a kingdom of the priests. I'm known. I'm loved. I'm the Lord's. I'm life's abundant. I'm light. I'm a member of His body. I'm a minister, more than a conqueror. I'm predestined. I'm a priest. I'm protected. I'm purchased. I'm a partaker. I'm a possessor of all things. I'm a precious person. I'm redeemed. I'm renewed. I'm raised up with Christ. I'm reconciled to God. I'm rich. I'm righteous. I'm royal. I'm saved. I'm a saint. I'm safe, sanctified, satisfied, secure, sent, servant, sheep, soldier, son of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, sons of God. I'm valued. I'm victorious. I'm washed. I'm a worshiper. I'm a witness. I'm His workmanship, and I'm on the winning side. What more do I need? I've got a sufficiency. I'm in Christ, and in Christ alone. That's why I have a security, and no devil is going to steal that from me. So don't live like it. Live victorious. You say, oh, you're one of those hopeful preachers. Yeah, I am. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't believe in name it, claim it, but I do believe this. We got hope in Christ. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, You're here today. You want us to know who we are in You. God, help us to claim that at this invitation. Now, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I'm here to obey Him. I don't control You, God. You control me. I don't control Your Holy Spirit. You control me. We can't tell You what to do in this service, but we bow down right now to worship You. I pray that Your Shekinah glory would fill this place at this invitation. If there's a person that don't know You and pardon the forgiveness of sin, I pray this invitation will be that they'll walk down this aisle and say, I want to know this Savior. I want to know that I'm safe and secure for all eternity. Would You change some life today? If there are those You're leading to be a part of this ministry, would You lead them? Father, I pray today that there's someone carrying a heavy burden here today, they'll come and they'll bring it to this altar and leave it here, knowing, God, that You are the God who can handle it regardless of the storms we're going through. Lord, we can trust that You've got a plan, and You don't deviate from that plan. Your plan is perfect, and You take pleasure in doing Your will. And that's my prayer today. Would You take pleasure in Your will being done at this invitation? In Jesus' name I pray, amen.